Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
TV.
On the radio.
Roll it there, Colette.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect the kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
That is a little clip of a new series on Netflix called Maniac, and I'm pleased to say we're joined in studio by Niamh Hassel to tell us more about it. Afternoon, Niamh.
Hello.
So Netflix, new series. How
new
often
series,
do we say
new
that?
New mega series. I mean, you can say this every week about Netflix, but this is a big, big one from Netflix. I mean, if you just look at the cast alone, right? Emma Stone, Jonah Hill, Justin Theroux, Sally Field, Gabriel Byrne, Trudy Styler, Jemima Kirk. All of these people are just incredible actors, stand alone by themselves, and now they're all in this show together. It's
amazing,
epic. So it's what it's called, a limited series.
Now,
right?
I'm intrigued by this. What is that exactly?
Right, I had to look this up because So it's not a mini series, because a mini series would only be about 3 or 4 episodes, but this is a limited series, and this is the beauty of Netflix and streaming services like Amazon, what they can create, because they don't have to conform to what a TV network require them to do, which is usually about 22 episodes. So a limited series can be as many episodes as it wants. So it's not quite a movie, it's not quite a mini series. It's a limited series. There may be another one afterwards. Who knows? So, do you remember The Sinner that Jessica Biel was in last year? Yep. That was another Netflix one. That was a limited series.
So we're used to the length of a series essentially being a season, isn't it? Where a TV station is kicking in with, say, September, and they're going, we've 8 Sunday nights, therefore your story will be 8 Sunday nights long, which is rubbish when you think of it, isn't it?
Yes, and the interesting thing about Maniac is that it's split into 10 chapters, but the episodes have varying lengths. So some of them can be up to 44 minutes, and the shortest is only 23 minutes.
Now, this is great as well, isn't it? Because when you think about stories, the reality is some of them are short, some of them are long.
Exactly.
They can't all be 28 minutes.
Yeah, and it really adds to the pace of the overall story. Now, I've been lucky enough to see most of them ahead of its release. It's coming out tomorrow and they're dropping all the 10 episodes, but we'll get to why you should just savour it in a while. But, you know, some of the stories need longer because there's a bigger emotional arc to them, and some of them are very short and sweet, and you just need to have that 23 minutes, that moment. Like one of the stories that's in it, there's a 10-minute scene with Emma Stone and Justin Theroux in it, and you need that 10 minutes at the end of that episode. But that's why the episode is way longer than the other ones are. You know, so
that's
just
brilliant.
Yeah.
Gives great freedom to the writer, doesn't it?
Exactly. And the writers and the director behind this, they're big names as well. So the director is Cary Fukunaga, and he is known for True Detective. And he's just been cast as the new director for the 25th James Bond movie. So you know that he's into this, right?
I know you're in it.
It's written by the novelist Patrick Somerville. Now, it is based on a Norwegian comedy, the entire story, but it's kind of set as an American drama. So you can imagine.
What a turnaround.
But it's weird
and
wonderful. So it's brilliant, right? Jonah Hill, who you'd know from Superbad or Wolf of Wall Street, he plays Owen Milgram, and his mental illness has alienated him from his extremely wealthy Manhattan family. And that's headed up by his father, who's played by Gabriel Byrne. So he kind of believes, he kind of has he can see other people, and he's in a kind of a larger plot to save the world. But and he kind of teams up then. We meet Emma Stone's character, Annie, and she's running away from her family for a completely different reason. So they both end up together in this pharmaceutical study, which is headed up by Justin Theroux's character, this kind of quirky doctor who wears a mad kind of wig. And he wants to, the end goal is to erase mental illness and unhappy memories and unhappy thoughts by giving these series of pills A, B and C. So you see them participate in this medical study and they go into these successive weird journeys. And now the episodes really get interesting around episode 4. The first few episodes are kind of setting it up, meeting the characters, what's going on, setting it all out. And then they go into these kind of fantasy journeys, but you're not sure what's real and what's not. But the beauty of it is that the show then itself switches between a lot of genres. So you could be watching a rom-com one episode and a fantasy where there's worlds of elves and dwarves in another episode.
That isn't confusing, is it?
No, it's, you know, it sounds confusing because when I read the premise of it before I went to watch it, I was like, oh God, I don't know. We'll see how this goes.
Because even when you say it's in Norway or wherever it was a comedy and now it's a drama.
Yep.
Even that seems like...
But it's kind of a quirky drama and it's very surreal and parts of it are very funny, parts of it are very sad. And it's set as well in this kind of retro futurist New York, right? So it's a bit dystopian in that sense that if you're very poor, for example, there's a thing in it called an ad buddy that instead of paying for a newspaper or a trip on the subway, you pay somebody to sit beside, or they pay you, so they pay for your journey or your paper or your cigarettes. And but the whole premise is that they have to sit beside you and incessantly tell you what's being advertised all the time. Or and instead of Facebook, you have pretend friends on hire. You know, it's just
that's calling a spade, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's very weird, but you get really drawn into it straight away. It's brilliant. You know, they deal with a lot of different themes as well. You have mental illness, unhappiness, they deal with loneliness, the whole idea being constrained by your family, pursuit of happiness, is it real, is it not? But it's just fantastic. I mean, what I will say about it, it's a proper treat. You know, like that really expensive glass of wine that you buy on payday?
Yes.
And you really want to savour it. You want it to last for as long as you possibly can because you've waited for so long for something like this to come along. And here it is. And you know.
That's some picture you're painting there.
Well, it's visually stunning. Yeah. Like, I mean, every scene that's in it, like it could actually be a photograph. That would belong in an art gallery. I'm trying not to big it up too much, but I really loved this.
A texter, Kira in Limerick, definitely agrees with you. It says, I love Emma Stone. She's a top class actress. Can't wait for this. I have a bottle of wine on chill in preparation already.
Yeah, well, you go for it, Kira.
Is this going to hit Netflix?
This tomorrow. So, I mean, like, Emma Stone in this is amazing. Like, she really stands out. I mean, she was, the last thing that I saw her in was she played Billie Jean King in that movie, Battle of the Sexes, and she's fantastic. And you'll know her from La La Land and Crazy Stupid Love and all of those movies that you'll really have enjoyed her in. But the way that she switches between genres, like, she's mesmerising in it. And Jonah Hill really deserves a lot of kudos for his role here. He lost a load of weight as well for this role. But beyond that, he's actually brilliant. And I don't think he's flexed those acting muscles since The Wolf of Wall Street.
Wow.
And it's really nice to see him playing something other than that kind of stoner buddy friend who goes around and acts kind of the maggot a little bit. But this is brilliant. Like, the story, it's very intricate. You have to really, really immerse yourself in it. You really have to watch it. There's no, like, watching it, tweeting and doing other things when you're doing it. But just savour everyone.
No pants drunk. No,
you can be, you can be half pants
drunk. Sit in your underwear, drink beer and watch it.
Yeah.
The Norwegian series Maniac, all 10 episodes are on Netflix now, it says. Brilliantly offbeat, quirky. The American remake will probably be big budget brash. Well, it sounds like it's big budget brilliant.
It is. Like, there is a lot of money been thrown into this, but you know what? It's worth every penny. Like, it's worth the subscription alone. Now, it probably isn't to anyone's taste. Like, it does have a bit of a kind of feel of, like, The Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. Some parts of it I was like, ooh, that's very Wes Anderson-y kind of, you know, the kind of feel and the look of it. And some parts of it very subdued. And it mightn't be for everybody. But if you're into your futuristic sci-fi stuff, this is the one for you. It's really, really good. Yeah.
Netflix exceeding all expectations again, has to be said. TV news, Modern Family, shocking news.
Shocking news from Modern Family. So this is the sitcom, obviously, from America, and it's about to go into its 10th season next week. I don't know how long it's
feels
lasted.
Like it's been on longer.
It does, yeah.
I think it's always been on. I can't remember a time in my life when Modern Family wasn't on.
Might want to get that checked out.
I think it back in the city. It was on the city, wasn't it?
Well, it's ten years. So, like, I mean, they've kind of run every storyline that they possibly can. And this is supposed to be its last season now. But there is talk that they might get a squeeze an 11th season out of it. Sure, why not? It's making the money. But we're going to see another plot change this year in that there's going to be a major character that's going to be killed off. The creator, Christopher Lloyd, he gave an interview to Entertainment Weekly this week and he said that this year will involve the death of a significant character. So it's not easy because it's a heavy subject. But at the same time, it would seem unusual for a family not to go through it.
Very true.
Now, when they say significant character, I really want to see one of the main people killed off, you know, and you couldn't really kill off any of the kids because that would be very depressing. Mm. But I'd say, you know, kind of on the older end of the scale, you could have, you know, one of the partners of the main family, or maybe Jay, who's the patriarch, you know, to see him killed off. But they're all panicking. Like one of the actors, Nolan Gould, who plays Luke, he's only a teenager in it. He rang his agent straight away going, I bet you it's me. It's always going to be me. It's going to be me. But I don't know. I mean, Modern Family has gone off the boil for me a little bit over the last couple of seasons. But, you know, right. I mean, this 10th season could actually redeem
itself. Big thing to do, though. Also, picking of major characters going away, the veteran Ray Maher, who plays Alf in Home and Away.
You can't have Home and Away without Alf.
Now,
there was rumours.
Ubiquitous.
He gave an interview this week to a magazine over in Australia saying that he was off to do Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So he's done musical theatre before and he was saying, oh no, I'm leaving Home and Away to do musical theatre. And everybody was like, oh my God, Alf is leaving Home and Away. You know, and so, but there was panic on the streets. But then actually they confirmed to, it was Channel 5, because Channel 5 carry it over in the UK, that Greg Barnett, who's the commissioning editor, confirmed that he's only taking a short break for the theatre. So he's not leaving the cast. So he's previously done it before.
Okay, just a break.
Yeah, just a break.
He'll
sure,
be back.
Ray Maher does a lot of panto as well over in the UK and all that. So, you know, that's fine.
I'm delighted to say that a debate is breaking out over which character they should kill in Modern Family.
Great.
And Mitchell, the son, Jay's son, is top of the list. I bet they kill Mitchell, Jay's son. I wouldn't miss him, says Jer. Kill off the son, Mitchell. He's a bit of a waste. And his husband, Cameron, would be great in his own.
I don't know. I think they're a great force together, you know, because, I mean, Cameron is obviously the more flamboyant character and Mitchell is very reserved. But it's his reactions to Cameron that, you know, where they have a big fight and he's like, and how long before this, you know, we can talk about this? I mean, what ballpark are we talking about here when something happens?
Very
you know?
Good.
Yeah, very
well,
funny.
Well, it's from the text, Mitchell's on borrowed time. Jean-Luc Picard got us very excited there when he hinted that he was coming back as captain.
I have several problems with Jean-Luc Picard and Patrick Stewart's announcement,
yes.
Because why didn't they just announce the fact that they're bringing back Jean-Luc Picard and then just have the series ready to go? Why keep us waiting for the new Jean-Luc Picard series? They never told us anything about it. All he said was that it was going to be different.
Right.
We don't know.
I don't know
what
you did, but I joined the dots and said Star Trek Next Generation is coming back.
No.
And that was premature, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, sorry. Because, you know, they have these Comic Cons that they do every year and all the former stars of Star Trek's go along to them for a lot of money, it has to be said. But Marina Sirtis, who played Deanna Troi,
unforgettable
Beta Z counselor on the Star Trek Enterprise, she was at a Comic Con and she said that she wasn't invited back and none of the other cast have been invited back. Nobody knows what this series is going to be like. We don't even know if he's going to still be a captain. We don't know if he's going to be in the Federation. I mean, he should be technically 91 years old by now.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on here? I want to know, where is it going to be set?
We
is it going to be
know.
Set in the future?
We know nothing.
Is he going to go back to the past? But I mean, thinking about it, they couldn't really bring back someone like Data, who played the android in it, because I mean, the character wouldn't have aged, but Brent Spiner, the actor who plays him, has aged significantly since.
Age has proven to be no barrier to bringing Star Trek characters back. You don't remember the end of the Star Trek series, the films, when they're laughable in their outfits, like little Star Trek outfits and little bellies. And
I like a paunch on a Star Trek character.
They can't move
that's
two
character.
Feet without breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've loads more to come, including taking a look at Orla Tinsley Warrior coming up after this.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
53106 for your text or email afternoon at newstalk.com. We'll be talking about Orla Tinsley Warrior in just a second, but some of the texts coming in on Modern Family, where they take no prisoners, Niamh. Killing off major characters in the sitcom is ridiculous. It's a sitcom, not a soap opera. It's light-hearted comedy. They'll probably kill the dog, says John Dunn. But he's right, though, to say, isn't he, the writer, that it's a family. And, deals with everything that happens in a family.
Now, when he says significant character, I mean, it could be talking about Phil's dad here, because he's played by, a very good comedy actor, and they killed off his mom, and they actually dealt with death before. I think they might have forgotten about it, but when Phil's mother died, they all travelled to Florida for a special episode, and it was actually quite emotional, and it was very nicely done. So they've done the death. But anyway.
Kill off the kids, all of them. Oh. They're such terrible actors.
Oh, come on. They're very good. They're very good actors. Yeah, no, that's text no, that. I disagree.
It'll be Dee Dee, I think, Mitchell and Claire's mother.
Oh, that could be a good one. Yeah, she's played by the one who was in Cheers, who played Diane. Oh, her name's escaping me at the moment.
I know who you mean. Yeah. I know there's a million shows on Netflix, but has Niamh heard or seen American Vandal season 2? Is just brilliant.
No, not yet.
Okay. I was thinking of starting Designated Survivor on Netflix. Has your
review? Don't bother. Don't even finish the text. I'll tell you why though, right? Because I got sucked into Designated Survivor, and I really wish I hadn't, because it was just the biggest pile of nonsense that I've ever watched. And the first two episodes, now granted, were great, but then they started doing all this weird stuff with product placement, and it was all very patriotic, and Kiefer Sutherland was so sincere. Oh God, no, just don't bother. Just do yourself a favour. Just don't.
You certainly answered that.
Yeah.
Did you say new TV episodes are to be dropped? Does that mean they won't be shown? Asks Seamus in Dublin.
Which?
You said new TV episodes were going to be dropped.
Oh, dropped, as in like they're going to drop, like you drop a wrap. Yeah, you know, like,
exactly.
No, sorry. I think that's a fairly okay term to use.
I think we have to accept it's the phrase.
It's the phrase, yeah, you know, dropped. Yeah.
You do get a sense when you look at what's available that new things have been dropped into it.
Yeah, like you drop a new single. Like something happens whenever they're going to drop a new single.
Someday.
Yeah, someday.
It'll be dropped. Yeah. It'll be dropped into the digital
ether.
World.
Yeah, exactly
right. So take a listen to this. This is from Orla Tinsley Warrior, RT Monday.
It's Wednesday. I actually had full-on hemoptysis, which means I started coughing up blood. And this is the blood. You can see it here. There's quite a lot of it. Whatever happens in the next 48 hours will be significant. I feel like I've had a great life, that I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, that everything after that, everything here in New York, was this extra thing that sometimes I knew exactly what was going on, and other times I had no idea what to make of it, but it was beautiful, and it was worth it. It was worth it. Go after your dreams. Don't worry what anybody else thinks. And live your life the way you want to live it.
Wow, that's very powerful stuff. That's Orla Tinsley. What exactly was going on there?
She was saying goodbye.
Ooh.
She, now that was, even when I got that audio today for the show, I bawled my eyes out crying at the desk. When I watched this on Monday when it aired on RT1, I bawled my way through the entire documentary. I mean, this was at a point where it was kind of midway. Her lung function was very low. She was coughing up blood. She showed the blood in the documentary. She was saying essentially goodbye. She didn't know what was next. And that was the whole thing about this whole documentary. I mean, Orla Tinsley went over to New York to study in Columbia University at the age of 30. She wanted to keep living her life no matter what. I mean, she's been campaigning for cystic fibrosis for years and years and years, and was on the drug Orkambi that she campaigned for. And I just was watching it thinking, I can't believe the people have to campaign for a drug that makes their life a little bit better. Because in the documentary, she is dragging around an oxygen tank with her. She can barely walk in some parts from one end of her apartment to the other. And she's doing all of this with a smile on her face, thinking, you know, tomorrow could be the day that I get my double lung transplant that she was waiting for. I mean, resilience is too weak of a word to describe how she was. Like, inspirational, like, doesn't cut it. It doesn't do her justice in this, you know?
And she's made this documentary to show people the reality of living with cystic fibrosis.
Yeah, and the importance of organ donation as well.
More
That's
than
what she
anything
said.
Else.
Absolutely. And we were talking to the Irish Kidney Association yesterday on the show about the uptake in people wanting organ donation cards, which is that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, there's 4,000 more requests than they normally would have in any one day. So that's brilliant. And we have to, like, that momentum has to keep going. And if you haven't seen this documentary, it's not an easy watch. You know, I mean, the whole thing is punctuated by her, like, really hacking up, coughing up what's in her lungs. Like, you heard there, coughing up blood. But it is a painful reminder of the constant struggle that her body was fighting against. And, like, that cough was the soundtrack to the entire documentary.
There are 7 different calls when she gets a call from the hospital thinking there might be a donor for you.
And when you are watching this at home on your couch and you're just going through every momentum of, like, oh my God, I hope this is the one. I hope this is the one. Could you imagine what her and her family were going through? You know, her family had moved over from Dublin to live with her in New York to look after her while she waited for this double lung transplant. And when she was going in, I mean, she was singing on the trolley going into what could potentially be her operation, like life or death stuff. And she was singing and they were so excited, only to find out then first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, none of the lungs were viable. And then just before, she had very, very little lung function before Christmas last year. She was on life support. She, you know, she had a machine helping her breathe. And then the call came in. And the whole way through, she was also very, very aware that any time a call came in, a family somewhere were grieving for that donor that they've lost. And she was so grateful. And she knew. But I mean, the thing was, that person had died and, you know, their organs were available and they've saved countless other lives, you know, in between.
And
so
finally, on the seventh time, the seventh call, the lungs are viable.
Yeah.
So does it talk you through, you know, her coming around?
Yeah, you see her coming out of the surgery and the recovery process, that part of it is a lot shorter. But I mean, it is very joyous when you see her walking through the park and it's springtime and the cherry blossoms are out and her friend Quentin. And he said, this is the moment. This is the moment that we always talked about, the cherry blossoms, the spring. Think of this and look at us now. You know, I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, she was absolutely inspirational.
It does sound hard watch. And there was a texter saying, I have this recorded, but did RT do it well? It sounds very invasive.
But she had the cameras. She switched them on when she wanted to. Exactly. So she produced it as well. So, I mean, this was a story that she wanted to tell about somebody waiting. I mean, when you think about the amount of people in Ireland that have cystic fibrosis and the people that are waiting for transplants, and this is what they go through on a daily basis, you know, and like the whole thing, it was a kind of an education in that as well, because there was glossary of terminologies and everything used. And, you know, anybody will know that if you have a medical condition in your family, you almost become a specialist, like a doctor in that family. And that's what her parents were to her, and that's what she was as well. You know, she knew all the medical terminology, obviously, and she knew what everything meant, you know, for her body.
So I am very joyous at the end, though. It's a very joyous
watch. Look, I mean, the thing is, within a year of a transplant, it's a very important year as well, you know, and she's coming up to that point.
Okay.
But I mean, she's able to walk around without her oxygen tank.
Amazing.
You know, cystic fibrosis is still in her body, but that horrible hacking and that daily kind of reminder of, like, what is happening to her, you know, the fact that she can't walk.
Amazing.
You know, she had to quit university, well, not quit, but she had to do her classes from home.
That is up on the RT player, by the way, so if you haven't missed it, you can still look back at it. You've one more to tell us about The Circle on Channel 4.
Yes, I think we have a clip, do we?
Oh yeah.
Message. Did we all read the article? What do we all think? ? And send.
Sadiq Khan don't like the fact that we're going out. Well, get over it, baby, because that's what we're doing.
I just wish we had voted to stay the first time. Makes my dreams of an Italian villa seem further away than ever. Send.
Because I didn't vote. I didn't get it. I said to, like, my mum and dad and stuff, I didn't understand it, so I didn't want to vote. Message. I think I was asleep that day. Laffy first, send.
That sounds absolutely brilliant. Going from from the life and death of Orla Tinsley to
I know, yeah, that's just
to life and the struggle, excuse me.
The other end of society.
To an absolutely vacuous group of people who appear to have nothing to worry about.
Oh, this is the whole thing. So basically for this show, Call the Circle, Channel 4 rolled this out during the week to a lot of fanfare. They kept promoing it through the Great British Bake Off. They must have spent a huge amount of money on this. So this is 8 people who are all living in an apartment building, all in the same block. They're only allowed to contact each other through this social media thing called the Circle, right? Yep. Where they basically stand in their living rooms and shout at a TV while some poor intern in Channel 4 has to type out what they're saying, including all their crap emojis and all of that. But it's like, I mean, my God, I wasted an hour of my life watching this.
Well, you waste that hour so we don't have to.
Well, that's it. I mean, they really scrape the barrel to find these people as well. I mean, they're the most vacuous, just narcissistic idiots. I mean, they're just irritating more than anything else. And I know Channel 4 have probably constructed this because they want to create TV that younger people can watch, and that's who it's for, granted, and I'm not going to, you know, rain on their parade or anything like that, but if that's the kind of thing that TV is going to turn into, then count me out. I mean, people are comparing it to that Black Mirror episode called Nosedive, where people constantly rate each other. And that's the outcome of this Channel 4 show, The Circle. They basically have to gain points from the other contestants. And the person with the most points, who's the most popular at the end, wins £50,000. I suppose the twist is they don't have to be themselves. They can catfish each other, as in like they can trick somebody into thinking that they're somebody else. At the moment, there's a guy who is pretending to be a girl, and he's actually got the most points at
right.
You know, there was a woman in it who pretended to be a cancer doctor. She's out, whatever, that's fine. And then there's another woman, and she's brought her child in there with her. She's brought her like very young baby in there. She hasn't told anyone that she's a mother. I mean, whatever they're touting here, I don't really, really care.
Different reactions here. This show sounds like TV has reached lower than the low. We're in the depths of hell with this. Is this a dating show? Do they take Irish contestants? 50 grand for that. Sign me up.
Yeah, well, good luck. I mean, the thing is, right, they're in an apartment building, but like there's balconies under the apartments and they're not allowed to leave unless it's for medical reasons. But surely they can just go out into the balcony and wave at each other and say, hey, I'm in apartment 2 over here. Are you really who you say you are? It just doesn't make any sense to me. They've thrown everything at this. I mean, the presenters are Maya Jama, who's a very relevant social media star and model, and Alice Levine, who is deadly. She did My Dad Wrote a Porno. She's in that podcast. Oh, yeah. But they don't really gel well together. You know, like, if this is what you're into, that's fine. I really urge you not to waste your time with it, because, you know, you could say that it's showing this dark side of social media. It can serve as a cautionary tale. You know, you never know who you're talking to, but I actually find it way too shallow to even finish that argument.
Stay out of the circle, really, is what you're saying, Niamh.
Seven circle of hell is what I'm saying, Tom.
Right. And Netflix is the place to be.
Just go to Netflix tomorrow. Just, you know, get into your pants and watch Maniac.
She's a maniac. Yeah. Maniac on the floor. Coming up, we'll be talking to Dr. Catherine Walter, who is the 71-year-old captain of the Oxford University's Linacre College female powerlifting club. No less after this.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.